Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Drive is live.
That's right. The Drive is live, and we are live here in Sugar Land, live here at Little Woodrow's. New location, a great spot here. Come on out. Make your way on out here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock as we get you ready for a huge, huge game tomorrow. We are, tomorrow will be pregame show. You'll be listening to Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. And by the way, Tyler, We got some audio from Sean and Seth coming up in a little bit, but no, you'll be listening to those guys pregame show as you said, one sleep ahead of the big game. By the way, some news and notes here, guys. This is kind of key right here. The Texans have elevated a couple of guys from the practice squad, Andrew Beck. Who we've seen play that H-back, that fullback, tight end kind of role. And then J.J. Taylor, the running back, we've seen him this year be elevated. And Clint, right off the bat, you kind of try to read through things, right? We didn't see Erickson get elevated up, which means maybe they feel good about the likelihood of Robert Woods, who has not practiced all week long, playing. I think if we saw Erickson's name get pulled up, I think that's a clear thought that he would be out for this game. So, kind of reading through it, they bring up two, Andrew Beck and J.J. Taylor. Your thoughts on what that may mean in terms of the puzzle?
Well, look, I think you mentioned what they didn't do, the move they didn't make, and what that means at the wide receiver position. I'll say the move that they did make with J.J. Taylor, unfortunately, doesn't make me feel real good about Joe Mixon's availability. You bring up another back. I would imagine Damian Pierce is going to get a lot of run. They're not real comfortable with Joe Mixon's ankle situation. Maybe it's just precautionary, but at the end of the day, J.J. Taylor getting bumped up there is not a good look for Joe Mixon and what this ankle situation has turned into since what was it? Tuesday's practice, Monday's practice, whatever that was.
So,
I like the J.J. Taylor move. I wish they would have made that move against the Titans and got him some run against the Titans. I do think he's a guy that can provide a little bit of a spark at that running back position. Brings a little something different to the table. Definitely has more pop and more twitch and more explosion than, really, if we're being honest, damn sure Dare Ogunbowale, and he definitely has a different skill set than Damian Pierce and even Joe Mixon for that matter.
This is something that's made you more concerned about the Joe Mixon. I won't believe Joe's not playing until I see.
Well, it doesn't make me feel any different about him playing or not, but it makes me feel a little different about their confidence that he's going to be okay and be able to play Joe Mixon's brand of football and be able to tote the ball 25 times if need be.
Damian Pierce, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, Damian Pierce, last time we saw him, had a monster game against the Titans, and I would love to see that young fella have a career game in the playoffs, win, lose, or draw. I'd just love to see it for Damian Pierce. But truth of the matter is, I hope the J.J. Taylor come up is one of those where we may see him on third down a little bit. We may see a J.J. Taylor package throughout the game. Not the trick plays that John Lopez on In the Loop was just talking about, but I do think there could be some wrinkles thrown in there. He is that caliber player. I can't think of one guy on this team, again, with the exception of Tank Dell. Tank Dell obviously has it, but, you know, with that twitch and that change of direction and that acceleration-deceleration combination, J.J. Taylor brings a little something different to the table.
Real quick, also, as we sit, as we go there, Clint, this coming from Aaron Wilson a couple of minutes ago. He said both Texans running back Joe Mixon with the ankle and linebacker Zeez Alshire with the knee are set to play Saturday against the Chiefs per league sources. Both are listed as questionable on the injury report, but there was never a high level of concern about either player's availability. So that's reporting from Aaron Wilson there that both are set. Joe Mixon and Alshire are both set to play in the game on Sunday. I heard a report this morning, ESPN, they reported that Joe was going to be a game time decision. So this is, I think this here a couple of minutes ago, and Aaron Wilson has great connections within the Texans. This is a good sign here, and what I expected. Now, I never thought he wouldn't be there. It's just his effectiveness. Is he going to be the Joe Mixon we watched all year, or is it clearly going to be a thing that he's hampered by an injury? So no surprise.
Yeah, and look, these moves, you know, that the Texans have made, like especially with J.J. Taylor, that could very easily be a precautionary move because if Joe does struggle, Damian's got to play more. So do you want your running back that's getting the bulk of the carries to be returning kicks? Can J.J. Taylor do that? Is he a depth player at kick return? So there's a ripple effect here that means the running back room could impact special teams, obviously. So it could be a move there. Needless to say, I could get good and excited about J.J. Taylor in any role. Him touching the ball for me as a one-off, I think could be a really exciting, you know, one or two touches in this game. If that is indeed something that we're looking at, hell, he may not touch the field, but I'm not opposed to him being worked into this offense to some degree, especially with the lack of weapons, with Diggs hurt, Tank hurt, you know, obviously with Robert Woods, hip. I mean, you got some real issues. John Metchie's shoulder. So finding athletes that you can get touches to, I'm not opposed to it.
All right. That's the latest there, and we'll continue to keep you updated. Anything we hear about Robert Woods, I noticed that in that report there was nothing about Robert Woods being set to go. That's one we'll watch out for. And all of a sudden, with the injuries and the wide receiver situation and the punt return situation, that becomes important. All right, again, we're at Little Woods Rose here in Sugar Land. Make your way on out here. Have a good time. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. TVs everywhere, drinks, food. This is a great spot to hang out and get ready for the divisional round playoff game. All right, let's dive into this right now. And you know how you can get involved here, 713-572-4610. Again, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. All right, I know that I heard Clint say he feels more confident than he's comfortable with. and I know Tyler's confident as hell. I cannot wait to hear these predictions.
Ooh, I wait for best bets. It's going to be glorious.
Because I know if Tyler Milner does not pick against the Texans in this game, there's never going to be a game in which Tyler ever picks against the Texans.
Tyler Milner says he's still real optimistic.
So I can't wait to hear that. I am predicting again, as I did last week, a double-digit win for the Texans from Tyler Milner, just like I think the last all four of the predictions from Tyler have been double digits. I think it was that way against Baltimore last year as well.
Consistency.
So, consistent, baby. We'll get there, and we'll do that at the end of the show. But this is where I want to start things with everybody here, the family, everybody here. If your confidence is where it is, how many points do you think it is going to take for the Texans to win this game? How many points is it going to take to win this game? And I throw out this stat, and I said it a little bit, I believe, this week. In their last 12 games, the Dallas Cowboy game is the only game in which the offense has scored more than two touchdowns. All of the other 11 games, the 11 of their last 12 games, they have scored two touchdowns or less offensively. Defense has scored five times in that time frame, but they have struggled to put up big points. So I'm throwing it out to everybody, and Clint, obviously you could start here. How many points do you think it is going to take for the Texans to win this game?
I think it's going to take 27. But in response to your question, I'm not going to sit here and say the offense is going to score 27 points. I think the defense.
Just throwing that out there.
The defense is going to be, obviously have to play a big role in manufacturing points, whether that's turnovers in field goal range and the offense doesn't get in, but we get three off of it. If it's special teams, I think it's going to have to be a collective effort. But they got to get to 27. I think. To be completely honest with you, I think right now where we sit, I think both of these defenses, in my opinion, are overrated. I mean, in terms of, like, they're really good. Don't get me wrong. But, hell, you had a guy come up and talk to you yesterday wanting to compare the Texans defense to the Ray Lewis Ravens. I'm like, man, they're good, but
that's when you put your headsets on.
I knew that was when I didn't need to get in that conversation. So I think we all, across the board, Chiefs and Texans, I think we probably need to pump the brakes a bit on the expectations with these defenses. I feel like there's going to be some points scored. Now, look, these defenses are really good. They're going to get the best of the offense for a quarter or for a half, but I think both of these offenses are going to look really good in spurts and score some points. So I think overall I'll go 27 for the Texans to win this game.
You think it takes 27 to win this game? Tyler, how many points you think it takes for the Texans to win this game? Toby agree with you. He said 27. Sean G on YouTube and Twitch said 24. Joseph said 17. How many points do you think it's going to take, Tyler, to win this game?
Well, honest to God, I think the Texans could win this game at Arrowhead scoring 20. And I'll add to that, reason being, I think if you want to win this game and you're the Houston Texans going into Arrowhead tomorrow, your defense that has been shining, the Texan defense is going to have to hold the Chiefs under that point total.
Yeah, I'm a little higher. I'm right in the middle of you guys. I think 24. Like if things go right for the Texans, 24. Now the last game it was 27-19. That was the final. And the Texans didn't get any turnovers. They turned the ball over twice. They won the Texans lost the turnover battle. But I feel like 24 realistically can get it done. Karen says 28 points. Now it's just the thought of is that something the Texans can get to? 27, 20, 24 points. That's why I kind of brought up that stat of, over the last 12 weeks, offensively, they haven't been able to do that on their own. They've needed to get turnovers to get there. They got to 32 last week, or they got four turnovers, and obviously the defense scored itself on one of them. That's the next point. That's why I say, how many points are going to take, and then realistically, what is the path that the Texans can get to that point total? As you said, 27, what's the path?
Well, look, I think the path to get there is, as I mentioned, I think this defense is going to have to
help.
They're going to not necessarily – look, nobody's going to go out here and wish and hope for pick sixes. Like, I want one, but that's not – I mean, is that realistic? Probably not. But can you get a turnover where, again, you're in field goal range or you're 10, 15 yards out of field goal range, so ultimately the defense generates those three? Can you get a turnover down inside the 10 to where ultimately you got a chance to score a touchdown and you can thank the Chiefs for turning it over? I think you get to 27 by your defense generating points first and foremost. But, look, if we're being honest, I think, again, I talked about this yesterday. If you look at the last time the Texans and the Chiefs played, C.J. Stroud threw two interceptions in the first half, and it was 17-10 at halftime. They get the ball coming out, boom, they drop the deep ball on Tank Dell. You're looking at a 17-17 ball game, and the Texans got a lot of confidence in their ability to move the football and score points against that defense. And the life was drained out of them with the injury to Tank Dell. And so, look, I think you can look at this game and say we had figured some things out, we made some plays, and – we should be a confident group going into this game. I think the Texans can move the football. I think the defense can, generate some opportunities to score points, and it's going to take a collective effort. Absolutely, it's going to take a collective effort, no doubt about it. I don't think anybody in the right mind is going to sit here and say, well, the Texans can just go out there and Bobby Slowick, the way he's been calling them, and C.J. Stroud, the way he's been inconsistent, the way the injuries are, the protection, and go, yeah, we're going to go out there and score four touchdowns. I don't think it looks like that, but I do think they're able to move the football.
The defense help. That's how they've scored here lately. Their big point totals is the defense help.
Well, I think, again, these defenses are good. Don't get me wrong, but I do believe that both of these offenses are going to move the football between the 20s. It's going to come down to who can punch it in, what field goal kickers can be clutch and make the big field goals the end of halves. And look, I think the Texans got as good a chance as anybody against the squad. I think it's a really good matchup. I don't like the Texans against Baltimore. I really don't like the Texans against what Buffalo brings to the table. I know it's hard to stomach because of the last time we saw them on the field together and the Texans beat them. But this game right here, I do feel good about the way this Kansas City team's built and the way the Texans match up with them.
All right, let me ask you this, because I don't know if it's a good matchup. I can see your thoughts of it maybe a better than the alternative of Baltimore. I don't think it's a good matchup. You're going into Arrowhead against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Chris Jones and that crew that has won more than anybody else. So I don't know that it's a good matchup. But let me ask you this, and the people, you can jump in on this as well. Your honest gut thought.
Well, all of that doesn't have anything to do with the matchup.
No,
I mean, you got to go on the road against anybody.
Yeah,
it's
but
not special to Kansas City. I mean, you got to. I mean, yeah, anybody they play.
Most definitely think that their experience and what they've done.
Let me be clear. When I say matchup, I mean the teams. Obviously, they have the home field advantage. Obviously, their resume is better than anybody, so they're going to have that advantage over anybody that they play. But I'm just talking about the matchup, strength versus strength. I think that this is a better matchup. That this is the best matchup in the AFC that I think remains for the Texans.
I can agree with that. Yeah. I'm just saying I don't think it's I wouldn't classify it as a good matchup for. I think I can understand saying it's better than the Baltimore and other ones. But your gut feeling here, because let's tear it down and put it down what it is. Like, are the Texans ready to win this game? But do you feel like this Texans team, when I say like, going in on the playoffs, on the road against that team, we know what that – all the stuff that you feel about the Chiefs, you know they have been the Astros version of the NFL.
Yeah.
Is this team, is this group – because I'm going to say this right now. I think the Houston Texans with C.J. Stroud are going to play in an AFC championship game. I think they're going to play in a Super Bowl at some point. I believe – And D'Amico and him, at some point, they're going to do that. Do you think that they are realistically ready right now to win this game?
Yes.
Okay. You think they are ready?
Yeah. Look, I don't think the moment is too big for the Texans. I think D'Amico has his crew built to where the moment is not too big for these guys. Now, there's a possibility that they don't play well. I mean, they've been inconsistent all year long. They've not played well against some pretty good opponents. I mean, they went to Minnesota and didn't show up and got the doors blown off of them. I don't think that's because they weren't ready for the moment. They just got the doors blown off, and they're inconsistent, and it happens. So, if your question is about, you know, the belief that is this moment too big for D'Amico or CJ or the group, I don't think it is. I think this group is wired in a way of no moment's going to be too big. Now, they're not above playing poorly. They're not above being overwhelmed by a superior team. They've shown to not always have the right adjustments and answers. So I just doubt that after this game we're going to look at this and go, boy, they just weren't ready. They just weren't ready for the moment. So for me, I think they're ready.
I just say that because last year I don't think you thought they were ready to beat the Ravens in that game, like in the division.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is. Do you think they're ready? I don't know if this version, especially with all the guys they have out, I don't know if this version is ready to be the one to walk in and win this game. All right, coming up as we continue live here from Little Woodrow's in Sugar Land. Make your way on out here. We'll get into some news here. And Clint has a real question about one of the guys that we would have thought was a major part of the plan or the game plan for this team, and the one person that was able to do something to Patrick Mahomes that nobody else on the team did. Clint's got a question. We'll answer that and discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Little Woodrow's in Sugarland, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. We are live here having a good time on a Football Friday. It is the division round edition of a Football Friday, and we are live here on the road. The Drive is live here in Sugar Land. We are at the Little Woodrow's location, freshly open here in Sugar Land, right across the street from the mall. You can You can enjoy yourself. Have a good time. And by the way, if you have not done so and you're in the building, we have all kinds of prizes. We got four $50 gift cards we're going to hook people up with. We got signed footballs. Who are these signed football and helmets by? We got signed footballs and helmets. I'll have to go and check and see what them signatures are.
There's a name right there. Who is it?
I can't tell who that name is. Tank Dell. We got an autographed Tank Dell football. And we got a Danielle Hunter autographed game size football.
For the record, y'all, I think that's backwards. Danielle Hunter appears to be the autograph that's on that football right there. Tank Dell must be the helmet.
So, Tank Dell helmet.
That says 55 right there.
There you go. There you go. Tank Dell helmet.
That's a big D on the side of that ball right there.
Okay, Tyler, stop. Stop.
For Danielle. I mean, come on, man.
Big D.
Come on, man.
Like, I hate
you can go to Neil, you can go Dallas, you can go a lot of things. You pervs go straight to something you ain't got.
I hate how Tyler has made me think.
Oh, you going to blame it on Tyler?
My mind in the last, I'd say, 3 to 4 years when Tyler really let himself hang out. You know, Tyler for the first year was subdued and tried to slow play us getting to know his
Tyler.
This pure horniness.
Sexual, man.
I'm a guess. He just listened to Marvin Gaye growing up. But anytime I hear anything that can be remotely close, even when Tyler's not around, I check up and hear it. As soon as you said that big D on there, I said stop it before he even gets started. But
I'll one up you on this one. I looked over there and saw that big D on that football. I knew if I said something about it, Tyler was going to check up.
So that's what you wanted. That's what you did.
I mean, Tyler proved me right. But it's Danielle Hunter.
That's right.
On a real football with that Texas.
Damn it, we got a beer spill. Come on, man.
Gosh, get it together.
That's how you start a Friday right there.
Stop being sloppy on a football Friday.
Let's get him another.
And a shot.
All right, man. We're not spilling beers around here. A little Woodrow.
That's Tyler's rules. You spill your beer, you got to get a new beer, and you got to take a shot.
Yep.
And you got to take a shot.
Buttery nipple
Friday.
Tyler invents these rules.
That's right.
But put your name in our raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win. Anybody in the building, or you're on your way, you put your name in the raffle box, you got a chance to win one of our $50 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. Hell, I ain't gonna lie to you. I just picked up this hoodie on the way in from Academy Sports and Outdoor. They got a sale. They got 65% off on hoodies.
Prices so
you might want to slide in there right now to get that done, and you can win a $50 gift card to go in right now, or autographed helmet from Tank Dell, autographed football from Danielle Hunter. All right, Clint, I know you have a question about this game, and the only person, Clint, that registered a sack the first time these two teams played is who your question is about. Kristen Harris. What's going on with him? What's the deal with that? 7 snaps, Clint, in the last game in the playoffs against the Chargers. I know what is going on with Kristen Harris. That seems really odd.
I don't know what to think about it unless I'm missing a report out there that's telling us, that's giving us some kind of insight. But I mean, this is a guy that D'Amico Ryans, I would think, I mean, you'd have to kidnap him to keep Christian Harris off the field for 75%+ of the
you'd
snaps.
You'd have to kidnap who?
D'Amico.
Yeah, I was gonna D'Amico.
Yeah, well, either or, it'd be 100% of the snaps if you got Christian. But you get my point. Is like I want to know where the hell Christian Harris is. I mean, you're talking about a guy that could be a huge factor in this game. We've talked this thing 6 ways to Sunday or 5 ways to Saturday, however you want to couch it. But when you look at it, there are going to be 3, hopefully just 3 or 4 plays, maybe more, where you're going to need somebody to be able to track down Pat Mahomes. You're going to need somebody to act as a spy on Pat Mahomes. And if you don't have that person that can get him on the ground, that can corral him, slow him up long enough for the troops to get there, for the swarm to get there, if you will, then you're going to have a real problem. And I think from a linebacker position, the way to seamlessly do that and mix it up for D'Amico Ryans would be if Christian Harris is on the football field. And so I'm wondering what the hell's going on with him. And truth of the matter, yes, I hear you. And the truth of the matter is I think he could be a real game changer. I know he could be a real game changer if he's on the field for 70, 80% of the snaps, right? We know what kind of player he is. But I'm talking specifically towards keeping and corralling Pat Mahomes when need be. You're not going to do it 100% of the time. But if this is a guy we were talking about for the last year being able to track down Lamar Jackson in the open field, he can damn sure track down Pat Mahomes. And so the more I think about like what went on last week, the snap count, the injuries, how the year's gone, if you look at him right now, I'm just wondering, like, man, are we going to have Christian Harris, the weapon, on the field at all against Pat Mahomes? Because, again, if I had to put my money on one guy that's not a defensive back or a safety to track him and get him on the ground in open field, Christian Harris would be that guy.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell it's about. He's not on the injury list. He has not been on the injury list one day this week.
Right.
So, you like, for Christian Harris, who D'Amico has said is our most talented linebacker. Like a run, cover, tackle, our most talented linebacker. And he'll, for him to get seven snaps against the Chargers, it's not like we've never seen Herbert run. He didn't run in this game, but that's a possibility. It's not that is odd that he would only get seven snaps in a game. And now, listen, the defense was excellent in the game, so you can't say anything about it. And you talked about it. Henry Toa Toa has come on big time this year. Aziz obviously ain't going nowhere. But, damn, seven snaps?
Yeah.
From Christian Harris? Like, I don't know. That's weird. That's weird. Like, when you talk about he's the best player at his position group, Derek Stingley's the best player at his position group. Like Hunter and Will Anderson right there, it'd be like just one of those guys getting seven snaps in the game.
Well, when you just talk, especially when you look at how much the Texans want to pressure, I mean, you need that guy on the back end to be able to clean up any mess. If anybody, whether it's a screen or it's the quarterback, even Justin Herbert, I know they didn't use his legs, but even him getting outside the pocket, like you would think the best cleanup man on that defense would be Christian Harris. And again, for him to get seven snaps, it just doesn't add up. There's got to be an injury there. There's got to be something going on. I just hope that it's been solved and he's going to be on the field this week, because I think it could be a big key to not allowing Pat Mahomes to impact the game with his legs as significantly as he might.
Yeah, from YouTube and Twitch, Cornbread, D'Amico can't show all his cards and go use Christian Harris. I'm going to guarantee you right now that D'Amico was not thinking about, oh, let me hold Christian Harris back for the Charger game. No, he was. He better not have been. He's thinking about trying to beat the Los Angeles Chargers the best he could. And clearly he was correct that Christian Harris playing seven snaps was the best for his defense that day. It is just a weird, weird situation. All right,
agreed.
Coming up, as we continue to discuss the big game between the Chiefs and the Texans, we'll get to the other games, right? Let's look at the others, all right? There are three other big-time matchups. Who wins, and one kind of note in each game. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Little Woodrow's in Sugarland, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here in Little Woodrow's. I'm telling you, if you've not signed your name and put it in our raffle box, we got a lot of prizes for you to win. You might want to do that. The raffle box is right up here to my right on the table. If you are in route, make sure you do that when you get in. Give yourself a chance to win one of our four $50 gift cards and autographed helmet by Tate Dell, as well as autographed football by Daniil Hunter. All right, we've got a lot to get to, fellas, in terms of today's game or tomorrow's game between the Texans and the Chiefs. But let's look at the other ones, Clint, because there's some other games in this divisional round that also are going to end up kind of making the place for the championship round next week. And outside of the Texans and the Chiefs, let's start in the NFC, Clint, with the Rams and the Eagles. And to me, I think what maybe the big story there is, what's going on with Jalen Hurts? What's going on with Jalen Hurts in the passing game? He, you know, there were some struggles there. Now, his defense played so well against the Packers, and Jordan Love was turning the ball over so much. And then they were also obviously effective like they've been all year with Saquon Barkley, that he didn't have to do a lot, but it still hasn't been great. Right, and he hasn't played in weeks with a concussion. That was his first game in a few weeks. Will Jalen Hurts cost the Eagles this game? I think that's that. Like, his play is the big thing in this game.
Yeah, no, I don't believe so. I think Jalen Hurts is a big reason why they are as good as they are. I understand the complaints about the play sometimes and not being a top-tier passer of the football. I don't know why people continue to have those kind of expectations. I guess when you get that kind of contract, all of a sudden they want you to throw the ball like Joe Burrow and Pat Mahomes. It's not going to happen. But the reason that I think the Eagles are who they are, a big reason is who Jalen Hurts is. And so I think the last thing that Philly fans need to worry about is Jalen Hurts costing them this game. When you look at this game, the reality of it is I liked the Rams last week until the fires, you know, pushed them out of their homes, and they're taking dogs and cats on buses and planes to Arizona. They moved the game. I thought that would be a distraction. Clearly it was not. It was a motivation. But when you really look at that Minnesota game, 2 weeks in a row we watched Minnesota allow a defense to pressure Sam Darnold. Whether it's Sam Darnold or it was Kevin O'Connell in the play calling, I don't know. I don't cover those teams. But when it's all said and done, the quarterback never switched into let me protect my O-line, let me protect myself, let me stay ahead of the chains mode. And the play calling never appeared to switch into some quick, some screens, let's protect our guys and stay ahead of the chains. And they just, I mean, for quarter after quarter after quarter, not four quarters, that's eight straight quarters where Minnesota got embarrassed from a pressure perspective from Denver's defense as well as the Rams defense. And while I think the Rams defense is significantly better than we all probably gave it credit when what's his name retired? What's his name? The D tackle that was there, 99.
Aaron Donald, for the Rams.
When Aaron Donald retired, we didn't know exactly what that defense is going to look like.
But their D-line is something. They brought two boys in from
Florida State, and they've done a really, really good job. So while I like the Rams, I just think the Eagles are on a whole different planet, right? I don't think the Eagles are going to allow the Rams' pressure to overwhelm them. I don't think they're going to allow the Rams' defense to dictate what's going on the way that Minnesota did. And I think Matthew Stafford is going to have to play out of his gourd if they're going to be able to beat the Eagles. And I just – not that that can't happen because Matthew Stafford's special.
I was going to say Matthew Stafford can play out of his gourd.
He can. He can, absolutely. But I don't think Philly – I think Philly controls this game start to finish. Yeah. I think it's a boring game. I think it's one of those where the Eagles just slowly creep away and don't give the Rams much hope.
The reason why I think some of this is on Jalen is – or I think it's going to be placed on Jalen. The first time they played, Saquon Barkley rushed for 255 yards and two touchdowns. Two long touchdown runs. But that may have been his best game of the season. I think come hell or high water, the Rams are going to be – they'll put 10 up there to try to make sure they stop him and try to make – because, I mean, that's the one thing. Now, listen, I don't – if I'm the Rams, I certainly don't love A.J. Brown and Smith and Goddard going in that secondary.
One-on-one.
But that's to me how – like, you got to kick my ass if I'm the Rams on that before I let the Saquon Barkley thing get loose. And I got to put it on Jalen Hurts the way he's been playing. So I think they are going to put it on Jalen Hurts. And the thing is to me is, is Jalen able to do enough for them to pay, to make them pay on it? Because, listen, we've watched Matthew Stafford go and beat Buffalo, who many people think is the best team in the league, and put up 40-something on Buffalo. Now, I don't think the Eagles' defense is Buffalo, but we know Matt Stafford with Puka and the rest of them crew, they can get hot, and we know their coach can get hot. So I do think it is a bit on Jalen to perform. Who wins to me? I think the Eagles still win. I think he'll do enough. And they'll take advantage of things. Like you said, I think they're going to make things difficult on Stafford in that game. I think it's just closer than people think, but I'll go with the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm riding the Eagles. Look, I think the score, it could be another one-score game. Who knows what happens in the fourth quarter if they just go into prevent and allow them to know that one score is not going to get it done. I don't know what the final score is going to end up being, but I see it being one of those games where you're pretty convinced throughout that the Eagles are the team that's controlling the game for the most part.
On the other side in the NFC, the Commanders are going to go on the road to Washington. The thought to me in this game is Jaden Daniels, the quarterback for the Commanders, is he good enough to make up the gap between these two teams?
No chance.
I'm with you. I think the Lions are going to beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah, and no disrespect to Jaden or what Washington's done. I just think that this is a different animal right now. I got the Lions picked to win it all. I think they're the best team that there is in the league right now, and I think they whooped the Commanders.
I think the Lions are going to score at least 30. And my thing is how many are the Commanders going to be able to put up? And I just think this is a spot where I don't know if the Commanders are ready for this spot and the Lions. Nobody blows out teams like the Lions, like jumps on inferior teams like the Lions. And I think the Commanders, who had a great season, they're inferior. All right, the big one, the last game of the weekend in the AFC, the winner of the Texans-Chiefs game will play the winner of this game, the Ravens and the Bills. The Ravens are a one-point favorite, even with Zay Flowers injured. And potentially, we'll see. They say that there's still a chance, but he hasn't practiced for multiple weeks, so he could be out, if not at least hampered. But they're in Buffalo. Buffalo's been great over the last couple of years at home. They beat the Chiefs at home. This is a team that beat the Chiefs and the Lions this season. Are you surprised the Ravens are favored in Buffalo in this game?
No, I'm not. But I'm super high on the Ravens. I mean, I like Detroit to win it all, but I think if you said, okay, every team's going to play at or above their ceiling, who wins it all? I think Baltimore does it. I think Baltimore's the best team in the league when they play their A game. Now, the question is, are they going to play their A game? The question is, Lamar Jackson has admittedly pressed in the playoffs in the past. Does that happen again? You know, the play caller last year, I think really hurt him in the AFC Championship. Does that creep up on him and hurt him again? We'll see, but I think the Ravens win this ball game. I'm still riding the Ravens here.
Yep. The Zay Flowers injury, I want to see how much that takes up, but I just don't think cold weather is going to be really cold, going to be windy. Well, I just think the Bills going to have a hard time stopping those two runners, those two backs, and the Ravens defense. That's been the change. The Ravens defense has really picked it up in the last 2 months of the season. It's a hard one because it seems like Josh and Lamar feel like they're on missions.
Yeah, well, it's got potential to be an all-time classic. There's no doubt. We saw Josh and Pat go at it a couple of times. We've seen Lamar go at it with Pat. We've seen Lamar go at it with a couple of different guys. So I think this one's got the real makings of a shootout, which could potentially turn into a classic.
Is this Derek the difference to you in this?
Yeah.
Because Cook ain't bad, and Cook led the league in rushing.
That's where I was going to go touchdowns. With it. I mean, you look at Josh Allen and Cook. I know it looks different. I know it's a different approach. But you look at that run attack, potential run attack, and then you look at Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Now, obviously, I'd take Lamar and Derrick 10 out of 10 times. But I'm going to tell you, Josh and Cook, there ain't nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's hard to really pin what this game's going to look at. I lean towards more of a shootout than just a grind it, low score, everybody's trying to run the football
even with
type
the
of
weather,
game.
Even.
Yeah, I mean, look, the last time I saw the damn Bills play in the weather, I mean, they put up damn near 40 points in the first half. Who was that against?
It was the Niners where they had that
I mean, they
snow
were,
game.
It was 30-something to nothing or 30-something to three or something at half. I mean, real quick.
That was Purdy couldn't throw.
Not a lick.
Throw it. Not because he was injured. He couldn't throw in that weather. I don't think it should be snowy, but it's supposed to be, you know, a real feel of below zero at times in that game being played at night. So a big weekend here as we continue. The Texans and the Chiefs, obviously, they play, but other games going on this weekend as well after the Chiefs and the Texans on Saturday. Let's get back to that. As we are live here at Little Woodrow's here in Sugar Land, make your way on out here. As we start hooking people up, we'll start hooking somebody up with a gift card coming up in this hour. Plenty of prizes, so get on out here as we'll be here till 6 o'clock. TVs everywhere, good food. You can even spill a beer and another one will appear right there. So come on out and have a good time. Listen, I had somebody roll in yesterday talking about, y'all not talking about this defense enough. All right, we're going to talk about this damn defense. All right, we're going to talk about this defense. And really, which defense is going to show up for the Texans? We'll discuss all of that coming up next.